Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray. You are listening to a least worst of The Doctor Is In. We have no best of, but this is truly one of our least worst.
Hi, Dr. Ray. How are you?
I'm sure I'm going to get really good advice from you.
Why do I have to be the insightful professional?
You just patted yourself on the back.
I'm losing you, buddy. I don't know what you're trying to say.
You're just so great. I love your show.
Am I close?
No.
Does that comfort you?
No.
I'm sorry, and I'm going to confess it, because I'm a holy guy.
I'm a little intimidated to talk to you because you used a lot of big words.
You know, I was looking for a deeper answer.
You came to the wrong place. You came to the wrong place if you're looking for deep answers.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
When I was a kid, I thought having to take a nap was punishment. Now, as an old person, it kind of feels like a vacation, a short vacation. I wonder why God did that. It seems as though he wired life backwards. He's giggling. When you're a little kid, what are two things you can do with really no ill effects? Pretty much eat everything you want, no ill effects. You can sleep whatever you want. Not a problem. Doesn't interfere. When you're a little kid, what are the two things you don't want to do? You don't want to eat and you don't want to sleep. So when you get to be a grown-up, you got to watch what you eat because it has ill effects. And you're constantly sleep-deprived. You would love to eat and sleep as much as you want, but you can't. Couldn't God flip it around and say, all right, let's do it this way? The little kids, they don't get to eat and sleep all that much. You grown-ups, you can eat and sleep all you want. I'm going to ask him that. People always say, well, I'm going to ask God some things when I get to heaven. I'm going to ask him that. Maybe. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. Thank you for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. It is a call-in program. I get hundreds and hundreds of publicists, had the accent on the wrong syllable, who write me, I have a great guest for you. Well, I'm sure there are great guests out there, and many of the shows on Catholic media have the great guests. But you're my guests. You are the folks who call in. This is your program. I'm here as ancillary, and media folks at Ave and EWTN, they get another host. I'm not indispensable by any stretch. You are, though. Program doesn't run without you. No calls. I can talk for an hour. That's not a problem. But after a while, it's hard to banter with yourself. You know that. And people will say to me, Dr. Ray, you know, I got an email once where they said, no, don't interact with your callers that much. Just stop it. Just let them ask their question. And then just, you can use more call. No. The relationship is part of this program. You people are cool. A lot cooler than I am. So I want to talk with you. I want to banter with you. I want to have fun with you because you matter. Isn't that sensitive? I'm feeling very sensitive. The number to get onto the program, 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. That's the number. I'm a psychologist, typically, but I've been at the office a fair amount this week. Normally, I pick and choose when I'm going to go to the office. A lot of you will call me and say, hey, you do phone consults. I don't really have time for a lot of those. here and there, I can do some depending upon geography. But for the most part, I pick and choose at the office. But here on the radio, I can't do office stuff. I don't diagnose. I don't do therapy. I certainly will not offer ideas contrary or in addition to any therapist you're seeing. That they're professionals, you're seeing them, and I'm not in a position to do that. But we can help out here a little bit. We can educate, whether it's a particular question or a broad-based question. So the number to get onto the program. Some of you obviously already have the number because you're on the line. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. As I was preparing for my monologue today, and I spent a fair amount of time on it. It happened when I was walking into the studio at about 2 minutes till one. And I thought, what's my monologue going to be today? Sat down in the chair, about 1 minute till one. Got to come up with a good monologue. And then Andrew Krucek, my producer man, played that intro bumpers with all those people ripping on me. He loves to find people like that. No shortage of them. And I'm thinking, what am I going to do for a monologue? I know. And then right when it said the doctor is in and I'm supposed to talk, I came up with my monologue. Not quite sure how I'm going to place this, but it's easily misunderstood. How often are you and me in a bad mood? Think about this. We take moods for granted. They are part of the human condition. I'm just in a bad mood. I think you owe it to yourself when you're in a bad mood to say why. Obviously, sad and bad things happen to us, sometimes on a daily basis. Irritations of life, people say things, events, circumstances that can distress, that can cause sadness. But a lot of times when people use the phrase bad mood, it implies sour mood. It implies irritable mood. It implies, I'm just not feeling good about this today. I think as Christians, we got to ask ourselves, how legitimate are bad moods? If we define a bad mood, as I said, as irritability, shortness, you know, peevishness, that kind of stuff. Because that's really what people use when they say bad mood. Maybe the word peevish best fits bad mood. Why? What is it? Have you surrendered to some emotion that's percolating in you because maybe some event happened 3 hours ago or yesterday? Somebody said something and it set you thinking and rehearsing and irritating yourself about what they did and what they said. Bad moods. Do you have people in your life that you've really never seen them in a bad mood? And if they were, it'd be really odd. It would not fit at all your image of them. I've never seen her like that. She's always upbeat. And this upbeat is not a faking upbeat. It's not a Pollyanna, I'm going to show this image to people so they just think I'm a wonderful, happy person. It isn't that. It's legit. This person, as you see them, as you know them, as you interact with them, you wonder to yourself, how do they do that? Rarely do I see them in a mood that I would think to myself, ooh, watch out. They're not looking too pleasant today. If you're married and you have a spouse that you've noticed is pretty seldom in a bad mood, isn't that great? It's wonderful, isn't it? Now, if you do have a spouse that's in a bad mood often, you have to wonder a little bit. What is it that makes them so vulnerable to moods? People think that moods just happen. I don't know, I woke up this morning sour. I don't know what it was. Well, it must have been something I slept on. No, they don't. Bad moods generally do not just happen. Bad moods at their root are how we look at things, how we interpret life, how we interpret people, how we interpret events. And we can interpret them in such a way to make us sour. There's no question about that. If, for example, let's just say, hypothetically speaking, this doesn't happen. It doesn't happen very often, maybe once every 8 or 10 minutes. I get an email that chastises me for something. Something I said, something I said it the wrong way, whatever. Mishandled it, bad advice, awful, terrible, don't know what I'm talking about. Okay. Now I read that email And I think to myself, what the heck? Who are these folks to tell me? Tell them to get their own show. They don't like that. And I start in my own head like that, getting upset. What is this? How arrogant are they? They're way off. This is their interpretation. You know, if I do that to myself, I could put myself in a sour mood. Because why? Well, I'm interpreting it a certain way. I'm taking it personal. I'm getting mad that they said this. But what if I looked at it and just said, well, okay, well, I'm trying to assess it. I don't think they got a good point. So, all right, that's their opinion. On with life. Some people would be in a sour mood because of it, and other people would just say, well, all right, I was a little bit rocked during the time it took me to read the email. That's about it. Let's move on. Christians of all people should be filled with gratitude. Christians of all people should have confidence in where we're headed. And that in and of itself should make it harder to get into a bad mood. I'm Dr. Ray.
Solidarity HealthShare began out of the Christian tradition of neighbor helping neighbor. They're a nonprofit medical cost-sharing ministry in which their members share in each other's eligible medical expenses. Solidarity HealthShare is not insurance, but rather an alternative way to pay for medical costs that adheres to the teachings of the Catholic Church. They'll never share in a medical care that goes against their values and morals, such as abortion, contraception, and sterilization. More information available at SolidarityHealthShare.org or at 844-313-4999. This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
There was no single event. It was more gradual. You know, eventually you just don't go one Sunday and then you don't go two Sundays in a row. Then went through a divorce and ended up being a single parent. If I didn't have church or God, I would be back at that lonely stage, that trouble stage. Whenever you get anxious and worry about things, you just know that Jesus has it under control.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for any reason, visit CatholicsComeHome.org.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. The Catholic faith has enemies. We're Catholics. We have enemies. They are a danger to the faith. And yet we're called to defend the faith, to instruct the ignorant, and to love our enemies. These enemies abuse divine revelation. They abuse science and religion. They abuse our history and our past. They abuse power and wealth. We have to learn how to deal with our enemies by picking up a copy of my book, Dangers to the Faith. You can find it online at AveMariaRadio.net.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray. You are listening to a least worst of The Doctor Is In. We have no best of. You realize you burn a lot of calories when you think heavily? I've seen stats on that. Watch Jeopardy. Well, no, don't watch Jeopardy, because if you don't know the answers, then you're not burning any calories. Watch Wheel of Fortune. You'll feel smart. You watch Jeopardy, you'll feel like you're in kindergarten, especially with that dude that's going on there right now. I don't know anything about it because I haven't seen it, but the guy's what? I don't know how many. What's he want? 1.3 million, 1.4 million? And I want to look at people like that who play on those games and say, how did you know that? How is it possible that you knew that? Do you work for a living? Do you have children? If you have children, there's no way you could answer a question that complex. You might be able to answer a question, hey, Dad, can a gorilla beat a tiger? But they don't ask those questions on Jeopardy. And speaking of questions, we got a lot of heavies up there, major heavy questions. Please forgive me. I'm going to do what I can to get to some of these. Yow. All right. Let's see what we got. Let's just start it out a little simple here. Let me get warmed up. Carol Ann from Fort Wayne, Indiana, just does not like when people say this. It just It's peevish. He doesn't like it. And this now, this is interesting, Carol Ann, because people wouldn't understand that when they say something to you like this, that they think is going to be a compliment, they don't realize that you're reacting negatively to it. Right, Carol Ann?
That's right.
Well, I just want to say one thing. Of all the calls up there, I like yours more.
Aww.
Now, what is it about I love you more that just rankles you?
To me, when you say I love you, it's a risky thing anyway. Some people don't say it as freely as others. And if some people have a hard time saying it, they maybe have to muster it up and say, I love you. And they're giving all of what they have to say, I love you. And then when the response is, I love you more, it's kind to me, it's like a slap in the face.
It's
like,
a one-up.
I've given you everything, and now you've defeated me. Yeah,
well,
does that make sense?
Yeah, well, okay. I think you're overinterpreting it, my dear. And I know what you're saying. Who am I? A psychologist saying you're overinterpreting. Boy, is that ironic. I know what you're saying. It has a little tinge of I'm going to one-up you in the love competition here. Okay,
right.
But if you interpret it this way, you say, I love you, and somebody says, I love you more. They're really saying, as much as you love me, I want to make sure I love you that much and more. If you look at it that way.
That's what I try to do.
Yeah, really.
I try not to let it rackle me, but it's
no, yeah, you don't want to do that. With something that benign, okay? The other thing about it is you could say this. This will help. Before you tell them you love them, you say, I love you less. And then they could say, I love you more.
There you go.
What do you think? See, you just undercut him right there in the love competition.
There you go.
And I know, you know, it's interesting you say that because I've said that to my wife and she said it back to me. Okay?
She'll then it can keep going. Well, I love you more. I love you more than that. I love you
know
more.
Know what I do? I just say, no, I love you infinity squared. And then that's it. She can't. That's it. Mathematically, I got her. That's a cute question, Carol Ann. Just want to tell you, I just like your call more. That's all.
Thank you.
You're welcome, dear. I'll talk to you.
You have a great day.
Thank you. You have a greater day. Anonymous from Texas, she did email me, and I asked her to call the show. And approximately one out of every 197 people that email me that I say, can you please call the show because I could ask some questions, they do. Which makes me wonder, what is it about the email that they wish to talk and ask about, but if you say, please call me so I can talk to you in person, they don't. Hi, Anonymous from Texas. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Okay, dear. I remember your email. We had a problem with the contact page, and I just got a whole bunch of them last night, and I did them, so I don't know when you sent it. But I think I did respond this morning or something. Does that sound about right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. Yep.
You have found out that your daughter is having relations with her boyfriend. And as many parents, you're shocked, understandably.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying, what do I do here? And your daughter says, ugh, Mom, this is 2019. Get with it. This isn't when you were growing up. This is nothing. We love each other. Or something like that, right?
Actually, she's saying, I don't know why you're making such a big deal out of it.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh. What do you want to do?
Well, I want to protect her.
Okay. How will you do that?
Well, she's currently grounded, but at some point, you know, I mean, there are other opportunities. They see each other at school and, you know, they have other opportunities. The question is, you know, do we just put her on something to make sure? Do we just keep telling her, don't do it, and hope that she doesn't? And at this point, I have zero trust in that.
If you place her on some kind of chemical birth control, one, you are saying, morally, well, I disagree with this, but I can't stop you. Two, you are putting her on something that in a a small number of cases could abort your granddaughter or grandson. You know that, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you know the pill can be an abortifacient. That's a fancy word of saying it'll kill a few-day-old baby in some small mm-hmm. percentage of cases. Okay, so what you're doing is you're saying, okay, here's permission to possibly kill your first grandson. Three, it's not going to protect her from any kind of venereal problem. Pilling to do that.
Right.
And four, she's already got some kind of emotional attachment that's built into the human condition, so that when we have those kinds of relations, that's why oftentimes many girls stick with guys far beyond when they should, because they've connected with them physically. So not all those things birth control is going to cause problems with. Now, you mm-hmm. said it here, Mom. You said it. You said, I want to protect her. She's going to do it, or she's going to try to find ways to do it.
Right.
I assume she has a smartphone.
She does. Well, not right now, but she does.
Good,
yeah.
Good. I don't know why she would have one at all anymore. But if you take it from her, she'll go crazy. If you decide to do that, you will have to deal with the craziness. Mm-hmm. At this point, it would seem, if you don't want the complications of what she's doing, morally and otherwise, then she has to be in your sight at all times.
Right.
Which means there are no after-school activities. She doesn't go anywhere. If you want to allow her to continue to see this guy, it is only at your house under your supervision.
Correct.
He'll leave her, by the way. He will leave her, by the way. Because if he can't get what he wants from her, if he can't use her that way, then he'll go find somebody that he can, and there's plenty out there. And I think you can explain it to her. You can say, you know what? You have no idea what you're doing to yourself. You have no idea the risks you're taking. If you are pregnant, it will change your life completely. It will do all manner of things you do not understand. And the fact that you're telling me that we're getting all bent out of shape over nothing tells me you know nothing. So at this point, my only goal...
Actually, I had that conversation last night with her.
Wait a minute. You're as smart as I am? Oh, my gosh. Oh, man.
I said, you've missed the entire point, and you're not mature enough because you don't even realize what you've done.
Mm-hmm. Or what she can, or what she plans on doing, what she continues to do.
Right.
Sure. So parents are always in this spot. When they find out that their kid is doing something that is definitely potentially self-destructive in all kinds of ways.
Mm-hmm.
The parents then have to say, okay, now it changes everything. Changes it all. I have to have full supervision over you. And, of course, the repercussions of that with the kid can be nuclear. And it takes a very strong parent. Now, I only got about a minute here for the break. Quick question. Is your husband on your side?
100%.
Good. There you go. You got both of you.
My husband actually went and talked to the boy.
Oh, very good. Very good. And I think I would talk to the boy's parents, too.
Yeah.
There's no question.
Possibly going to happen. Yeah.
Yep. Yes. No question. And you're going to face some real ill will from your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question about that. And hopefully she will come to her senses about this at some point and realize, Mom, he was using me. Mom, it's not a matter of love. I don't love him. He tells me he loves me. And all of that nonsense. But she's put you in this position. God bless you, dear. You're going to have to be a strong parent on this one. Okay, thank you. Ah, man. See, okay. This is the way it is, guys. This is the way it is. A very high percentage of our teens and young adults are doing things that can hurt them. They are. Cultural opportunities, a cultural decay of morals, making it all good, making it all okay, calling bad good, good bad. And parents, when they find out about it, if they do find out about it, are now in a position to go, oh my gosh, I got to reassess everything. I got to readjust it all. And then, look out, because they're going to deal with a kid who is as hostile as they have ever seen.
We were made for spiritual greatness. The divine image is in every person, however dimly seen in some. God gave man a spiritual and immortal soul. From the first moment in the womb, he or she is destined for eternal life with God. Man, by his reasoning, is capable of understanding the order the Creator has established. By our will, we are capable of aligning ourselves with our true good, which is where we find our perfection. Reason provides recognition of God's voice directing us toward good and avoiding evil. The law of God is made known by our conscience and is fulfilled by the love of God and love of neighbor. Because our first parents sinned, we suffer the wound of original sin. Thus, while we still desire good, we are inclined toward evil and subject to error. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
I'm Dr. Stan Williams, and this is the logic of Catholicism. Solanus Casey said, "Appreciation is as necessary for social order and harmony as are the laws of gravity for the physical world." St. John writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh and lived among us." John's referring, of course, to Jesus as the Word, which in Greek is logos, and that's where we get the concept of order, reason, and logic. People with Jesus could see, hear, and touch him. With their senses, they eventually reasoned that Jesus was the incarnation of God, who beforehand they had only known by faith. Thus, the incarnation unites faith and reason. Today, tell someone you appreciate Jesus, because he revealed how faith and reason together are, well, logical. And that's the logic of Catholicism. Explore more at AveMariaRadio.net. Under resources, look for me, Dr. Stan Williams.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray. You are listening to a least worst of the doctor is in. We have no best of, but this is truly one of our least worst.
What would you do if you were stuck in one place and every day was exactly the same and nothing that you did mattered?
Call now to speak with Dr. Ray.
I remember where I was when I watched Groundhog Day. In a lot of ways, that was a very moral show. It was the transformation of a completely egotistical, self-centered, self-seeking, self-promoting fella into a much softer, warmer human being. I really liked the program. It truly did it. Yeah, I'm still way back where he was in the beginning. I'm only on about the second Groundhog Day in my moral development. Beverly from Tennessee got scared. Oh, my gosh. She got scared. Apparently, there was somebody outside the house trying to get in. No, that wasn't it. No, it was a tornado. No, that wasn't it either. There was some kind of coyote or something. No, that wasn't. This was much scarier than all of that, right, Beverly?
Yes, it was, Dr. Ray. Thank you.
You're welcome, honey. So why were you scared by a fit of a six-year-old?
Well, because of the length of the duration of the fit and the escalation of the screaming, crying, kicking, flailing, and... Another thing I didn't include earlier, the mother didn't seem too distressed, and I was helping her watch the children over the weekend while her husbands were at a retreat 800 miles away. So there's six children, there's six under six, and this is the oldest, and he did not want to do his usual kitchen duty after dinner. And his mother had added to that and said, "Well, you'll also clean this." They have a huge table. All the kids sit around. So he didn't want to clean the table. That was his extra duty for some misbehavior earlier. And then he
Beverly,
he wasn't
Beverly,
going to do
how long,
any
how
of
long,
it.
Beverly, how long ago did you raise your kids?
A long time ago. But Dr. Ray, my youngest is 38, but I never experienced with our boys this kind of behavior.
That's my point. Beverly, that is my point. In your generation, maybe a generation or two ago, this kind of stuff was much less common. Sadly, it is much more common now. And temper tantrums used to be the domain of 2- and 3-year-olds. Now they are the domain of 6, 8, 10, 12, 15, 17-year-olds. And as you put your finger on it, mom didn't seem to be all that interested in doing anything about it. So the fact that this kid erupted like this is no shock to me whatsoever. None. I think you have to decide also, whether you want to watch him.
Yeah.
You got to decide whether you want to watch him.
I had watched him previous to this, starting when he was 4 years old, but had no problems. He's been in our home.
He's getting older, Beverly. You're going to get more of this. Unless the parents decide to do something about it, he's going to give you this kind of trouble. If you have discipline leverage, if you can do something about it, if you can essentially say, okay, now the rest of the time you're with me, you have no privileges whatsoever because of a fit like that. If you can do that, then you may teach him that when he's with grandma, I'm assuming that's who you are, when he's with grandma, he isn't going to behave that way. He may do that with his parents. Maybe they're overloaded by 6 kids all that young, but that's what you're dealing with there. And I know the underlying question that you're saying, which is, Dr. Ray, that doesn't seem normal.
Right.
It probably is, Beverly. It's probably quite normal, given the fact that this kid may have a pushy temperament and given the fact that the parents aren't doing anything about it. You do this little test. When mom and or dad come to pick this boy up, you tell them what he did. And then, if you can, you try to find out what they're going to do about it. Because I know, when my kids are little, if I found out that they did this to anybody who watched them, the amount of privileges that they would lose when we got home, well, I don't know whether it's 10 to the 27th power or not, but I know it's up there. Thank you, Beverly. Thank you for the call, dear. Nate from Des Moines, Iowa. Hi, Nate. Yo, Nate. Nate there, boys. Nate, you there? You out doing a lot of things? All right, we'll have to. Line's lit. All right, we'll have to head off a name. Go to an anonymous call from California. She is a widow, and her husband passed away last year. She's trying to move on with her life, but she's having some temptations. Are you there, caller?
Yes.
Thank you for the call. What are these temptations?
Is it okay to say it on air?
The next thing? Let me say it for you, okay? We'll use euphemisms. You're having thoughts about physically being with strangers, people you don't know, and just being tempted to think about what it would be like. Does that summarize it?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want these thoughts? Do you sit there and say, oh, goody, I'm going to just sit here for 22 minutes and think all about this?
No.
Okay. You know thoughts coming through your head are not sins. You know that, don't you?
No. Okay. I really don't know, but thank you.
They're not, dear. And any thought can come through your head at any time. A priest once told me this example. He said, you cannot stop the birds from flying over your chimney. However, you can stop them from building nests in your chimney. And the thoughts are birds just flying past your mind. That's all. All kinds of nonsense can float through your mind. You don't have to pay any attention to them. I think here's what you're doing, dear. I think you're doing this. You're probably panicking and thinking, oh, no, dear God, no, I don't want those thoughts. Oh, please, oh, God, go, take them away. Please, no, I don't want to think it. Are you doing that?
Doc, you're right.
Okay. You don't have to do any of that. When the thoughts come into your head, you know, and most certainly God knows, you don't want them. So what? Okay, fine. You're like a bullfighter. Here comes the bull. You just pull the K-9 cape aside and let the bull go right through and just move on with what you're doing at that moment, whether it's reading, whether it's cooking, whatever it is that you're doing. Those thoughts don't have to torment you. They are nothing but silly little temptations. You have no intention of acting on them. You don't want them. So there is no sin there whatsoever. And you ask any priest, you don't believe me, sweetheart, you ask any priest, and all 10 out of 10 will tell you the same thing.
Thank you, Doc. I did not know, but now I know. Thank you, Doc.
Bless
Thank
you,
you.
Dear. Okay, be at peace. Tell you what, of all the thoughts that come through my head, I'd be in major league trouble. I was going to give out the number, but I'm not. There's still a lot of folks there we need to talk with.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at avemariaradio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to avemariaradio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
You as a parent apply Galatians 5. Is watch your kids as they move into the religious space, if you want to put it that way. I, you know, made noises about the priesthood on and off when I was a little kid. My parents were never oppressive about it. They never pressed me in that direction. But they would quietly indicate an openness to that, or like, that's a good thing. I remember I still have it upstairs, a Bible that my parents got me for Christmas in 1969. I'm a little kid. And it's, you know, from Mom and Dad to Bob, Christmas 1969. They knew, they sensed I was kind of interested in religious things. So I would say that, don't be pushy, of course, but don't go the other direction. That's, my generation got too much of that, was, back off. Who am I to tell you what to do? You make your up your mind. No, I think gently, quietly, affirming that, yeah, that's a good thing you're thinking about. And you should be open to that.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to
a
priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to wreck?
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are committed.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Today, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray.
What do you want?
You know what I hated? Last night, I hit this dribbling little grounder to the shortstop. So first of all, I had to try to run fast to first, which is getting harder and harder. The throw was in the dirt and got by the first baseman. Now, my first instinct was just stop at first. Don't try to just. But no. I had to show him. Yeah. So I rounded first and I headed to second. Now, there's a screen about 15 to 20 feet behind first base. The ball bounced off the screen. Depending upon how it bounces, it can get to the first baseman, and he's got a nice throw to nail you at second. Well, I saw the second baseman lining up for the throw as I'm coming in, and I'm figuring the throw is coming. So what did I have to do? I had to slide. Yeah, I had to slide. Now, that wouldn't have been so bad, except I had to push my life alert thing so that my teammates could come out and pick me up. That was what was the embarrassing part. We had a call earlier. A mom who found out that her 16-year-old daughter was having relations with her boyfriend, and I spoke about the downsides, of course, moral and otherwise, of getting her daughter on the pill. Well, Jane from Washington called, and she is a nurse, and she did want to add this, and she's, of course, absolutely right, that the pill is not completely effective at preventing pregnancy. Of course not, especially in the doses that they use it now. I saw a statistic once, approximately 8% of people on the pill will get pregnant. So Jane's right. I didn't mention that to Mom. I probably should have. All right. What else we got here? Got to go down through the calls here. Alice from Salem, Oregon. And Alice, I want you to know that last night in my softball game, I took your name. Did you know this?
No.
Well, here's what happened. When I hit this little dribbling ground ball, it took about six hops and looked like it was hit by a four-year-old, somebody from my team yelled, "Hit the ball, Alice!" Yeah, it's kind of, you know.
Oh, rude.
No offense to you, dear. I know that sounds misogynist, but and I turned and yelled at him. I said, "I think Alice could hit the ball harder than I do." So, what is your husband anxious about all the time?
He's smart, right? And so he's sure that he knows how the computer stuff should be done. And they hire him because he's smart. And then when he gets there, they say, "We don't want to do this. It's always worked this way, and that's too hard," and things like that. And it makes him just, he turns himself inside out. He feels disrespected. He feels
You're
angry.
Answering. You just answered your question. You know that. You just answered your question when you said that. What did you just say?
That he was disrespected. Or
yes.
He feels disrespected.
Yes. That's the source, or at least a part of it, that he gets so all bent out of shape about. He can't
what
look at
can
them.
Do?
Well, you can try to reason with him, I suppose. I mean, isn't it interesting? Now, Alice, you started out this whole thing saying how smart he was, right?
Right.
Really smart, really smart, really smart. But yet, in the domain of being easier going at work, he's not very smart. Not very smart at all.
No.
Because it all gets to him. You said he feels disrespected. You ask him, why? What does that have to do with it? They have their opinion. Mm-hmm. They can be wrong. You can be smarter than they are. What does that have to do with anything about your self-image? Well, that's just, they're dumb. They hire me. I can't believe they hire me. And then they turn around and they do it their way. Oh, yeah, that's right. They're the boss. Bosses can be dumb. So what's your point? I mean, he's getting himself all bent out of shape because he's being dissed. He's the expert. They want him because of his expertise. And then they turn around and tell him, we know better. And then he comes home and he lays into you. Do you believe that? You know what he said? Do you know what he said? Look at him this way, Alice. I know. Look at him this way. Say, why are you taking this so personally?
Mm-hmm.
So they think that you're dumb. Okay. Are you? No, that's just the point. I am not dumb. I know five times as much as they do. I agree. But they don't think so. So I don't get it. Why are you so upset about this? Well, they should know. Oh, really? People should act smart all the time? What world do you live in? The core of why he's... Go ahead, dear.
I tried to give him, like, what their point of view might be that's not insulting, and he feels like I'm just debating him or arguing him or trying to...
Sometimes you know what you got to do? You got to look at him and say, well, as long as you continue to interpret it all this way, you're going to be kind of upset at every job you ever go to.
That's actually true. He's had many jobs because he couldn't stand to stay.
You know, let's say tomorrow that EWTN and Ave says to me, and by the way, this has happened on other networks, so this is not a hypothetical. You know, Ray, you're just, I don't know, there's just a lot about your style, there's just a lot about the way you do it, it's just a lot about everything that, you got a two-week notice. Now, I could interpret that many ways. I could say, I'm terrible, I'm no good at this, this is awful, I can't believe it, I'm such a failure. I could do that. And perhaps it's true, but I could interpret it that way. I could interpret it as, well, they don't really like my style. Some people would. Other people don't. They don't. I could say it that way. I could say, well, even if I'm not very good at this, even if I am weak at this, God isn't going to say, Ray, I would have welcomed you to heaven, but sorry, buddy, you're just not very good on the air. Yeah, doesn't it put it in perspective?
Yeah.
I know. If your husband is a religious guy.
Give him perspective.
Well, that's what you're there for, Alice. And I still think you hit the ball okay, really. And I turned and yelled at him. I said, "You don't do that to Alice. I'll bet she hits the ball better than I do."
You know, I appreciate that.
Do you know the other woman's name that we use besides Alice?
Name?
Sheila. Sheila.
Sheila.
Hit the ball, Sheila. Now, it comes from, of course, in Australia, a Sheila is a woman. You know, but see, you can't say stuff like this now. You're not allowed to say this. You are not allowed to say the reality that the average woman cannot hit the ball as hard as the average guy. Any human being with one iota of reality sense would say, well, of course, you know that. Women are structured differently. Their skeletal systems are smaller. They don't have the muscle tissue, etc., etc. That's just reality. That's not a put down of a woman. But yet, there are places where if I would say that, like right now, I'm going to get in trouble. But you know what really scares me, though, Alice? This is what scares me. Is some of my other players, when they hit a really weak ball, like they pop up to the pitcher or something, they're going to start yelling to them, hit the ball, Raymond. That would hurt. That would really hurt. Bless your heart, dear. Thanks for the call. This is Dr. Ray. I'll be back.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, Dr. Ray.
Hey, how are you doing?
Hi.
Yeah, how are you doing, Dr. Ray?
Hey, Dr. Ray, how are you?
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Fund. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The EWTN home video highlight for October is the EWTN Family Celebration from Denver, Colorado. John Ed Williams, Father Mitch Packwood, Dr. David Anders, Father Innocent, Father Augustino, and Father Angelus show us how faith can move mountains. Order your DVD at EWTNRC.com 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or call 1-800-854-6316.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
We just did our parish mission a couple weeks ago now, and I suggested that in the course of the mission that we do something like a little mini spiritual assessment of our lives. I don't have to show this to anybody, but a great chance for us just with real honesty, just between us and Jesus, ask ourselves some questions. First question, given the fact that half of Catholics don't think God is even personal, would be to ask ourselves that. Do I think God is personal? And then to ask myself, do I think a relationship with Jesus is possible? Do I have a relationship with Jesus? And if so, what's it look like? And then perhaps a little bit more awkwardly or painfully, to ask Jesus, from his perspective, what's the friendship that we have with him look like? How would he describe our friendship with him? That might be a hard conversation to have.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray. You are listening to a least worst of the doctor is in. We have no best of, but this is truly one of our least worst. I just got a text from my wife, sweetheart of a wife. She tells me she's listening. I have to pay her to listen. She says, want me to drive through Arby's? Meet you at the office. Honey, if you're listening, sure. Get those, well, she knows, the gyros, the turkey gyros. No onions, though. Carla from California would like some guidance in school about psychology. Hi, Carla.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, hello, hello. I'm new at this radio station, new at with you.
Well, wait a minute. If you're new at the station and I'm the first show you've heard, please don't leave us. There's other good shows.
No, I'm really liking. I'm liking what I'm hearing. I'm here with my husband, my supporter, my best friend right next to me, and I wanted to know how you got to the point you are right now as a Catholic psychologist. I graduated with a psychology degree, my BA, and right now I'm in the point in my life where is that the way that I want to head to, or should I just get into the medical field? So I feel like I'm in an unbalanced world right now, and I wanted to know your advice and what you did to get there.
Well, I noticed that it's very interesting you'd use that choice of words, an unbalanced world right now as a psychology major. It is very difficult to do much in the field of psychology with a bachelor's degree. You may be able to be a caseworker,
exactly,
something along those lines, but you may not be able to do therapy like you would like. So at the very least,
exactly,
you'd have to pursue a master's. Most psychology mm-hmm. programs are very, very secular. They don't pay much attention to religion. Or if they do, sadly, they either mock it, they view it as a neurosis, they see traditional morality as a problem. Excuse me.
Yeah.
So a number one thing that a person of deep faith runs into when they go into a graduate program is watching what's going to come at them regarding all kinds of moral issues that psychology says are just perfectly fine and wonderful and freeing, and which religion says, no, there's some real problems here in living that way if you choose to go that way. Excuse me. So that's what you probably will run into. There are programs around the country from certain very faithful Catholic colleges that you would learn the principles of psychology within the context of your faith. And that's okay. That'd be great. There's probably 6 or 8 of those.
Okay. And where did you go to school, or what did you
I went to Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland. I got my bachelor's and my master's my senior year. I was 21 when I graduated with a master's degree. I got my PhD from Kent State, and I was 25. Now, nowadays, to pursue a PhD is probably going to take you 9 or 10 years total, given the 2-year internship that most of the programs require. So I completed a PhD in 8 years. I hustled, but nowadays it'd probably take you 9 or 10. If you got a bachelor's, you're looking at another 5 or 6 anyway. But the PhD does give you tremendous, tremendous flexibility. The PsyD degree, which is essentially a focus more on clinical. The PhD in psychology, you get a lot of research involved. My degree was also in research and clinical. That's the kind of the way the program was designed in those days. I had to take a lot of statistics, a lot of research design, etc. A PsyD, if you want to look into a program like that, is 3 to 4 years, and its emphasis is pretty much clinical. They don't get too much into the research aspect of it. All right.
Oh,
hey.
Oh, all right.
Thanks for listening, and stick around. Well, hey, I figure it this way, Carla. Listen to me; you'll get an informal psychological degree.
Yeah, I'm guessing this is your passion. It's always been my passion, psychology, but I'm in the medical field, trying to get in a PA program. But my husband tells me he doesn't see me as happy as in the psychology degree I was in. So that's why I wanted to kind of seek guidance. And this did help me out.
All righty. You're welcome, dear. You call in anytime. I'd have 1 minute to anybody I'd call. Jeff, the question for you is, you really got to, it's none of their business, but you have to take into account, do they have a valid point? If not, then that's their sartorial view of things. Michelle, If I have to choose, I'm going to choose a private religious school for a lot of reasons, not the least of which you're allowed to talk about God, okay? Sarah, your 4-year-old can't decide that. You decide that, and there are ways to do that, okay? And I can show you how to do that very quickly. So if you call back, you guys will all be first up. Thanks, Andrew Krucek. Thank you, Eric Dumont, with now a 1-year-old daughter. She's pretty much running the show. She waited. She lied, lurking to run the household. Tomorrow, Look Back Friday, and I appreciate the company so very much. As always, I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. Walk with God. Hold your children tightly by the hand, but Sarah, make sure it's potty trained when you hold them there.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.